Our text this morning, found again in the book of Colossians. We're going to begin reading Colossians chapter 1 with verse 11. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Father, as we look to your word now, we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to what you have to say to each of us as individuals today. Amen. Well, as many of you know, my youngest is coming up to 15 years old. And at 15, you can get your driver's permit. And we actually heard a rumor that you could get a permit at 14 and a half. And so we're investigating that rumor, and I'm pretty sure the rumor is not true, which is okay, because I'm not sure that I'm ready to have my youngest driving. But it got me thinking in relationship to this text about qualifications. You know, what are the qualifications to drive? Well, in Colorado, you have to have you have to be at least 18 years old, or you have to have taken a driver's ed class and gone through a whole bunch of practice driving and certified it and passed a test and know all the rules of the road and stuff like that. There was one young man who did that, and you can get your license at 16 if you've gone through the right channels ahead of time. One young man did that, and he was just itching to take the family car out, and so he asked his dad, "Can I have the car? And then I want to drive a while." And dad said, "Well, you can, but a few things. First of all, your grades aren't as good as they could be. And so you bring your grades up to A's and B's, and that's the first qualification. And I've been noticing that you haven't been as nice to your mother as you should have been." And now this actually is, it's a worldwide phenomenon. When boys get into their teenage years, they start treating their mothers like dirt. And they're just not nice to their mom. And this is a God-ordained plan, because that way when the boy turns 18, the mom kicks him out of the house. That's a side note, and doesn't always happen that way. And besides, you can kick them out, but sometimes they come back. But anyway, this boy, you know, he said, the dad says, "You have to bring your grades up. You have to treat your mom nicer. And, you know, this is a Christian family, and you have to start doing devotions. I have not seen you, you know, actually getting into the Bible, so I got to see you read the Bible once in a while. And the last thing is, you know that I really hate that long hair of yours. Get your hair cut, and then you can drive." About 3 months later, the son comes to dad and says, "Dad, here's my report card. It's all A's and B's. And I've been really working on treating mom nicer." And dad says, "Yeah, I've noticed that. And good job on the grades. I've noticed you're treating mom nicer. That's good. I'm really proud of you in that way." And he said, "And you know what? I've been getting some really cool things out of the Bible. And I've read through the book of Proverbs every month for the last 3 months. And it's changing my life. I really appreciate that. Can I drive now?" And dad said, "It seems to me you still have that long hair." And the son was ready for this. And he said, "Well, you know what? Jesus had long hair. I'm just trying to be like Jesus." To which the dad said, "And I'll remind you that Jesus walked everywhere he went." You got to meet all the qualifications, not just some of them. I'm not picking on Matthew, just that it happens that we had a couple of things with qualifications that we were looking at for him this the last couple of weeks, because they're registering for classes for the fall. And, you know, as a sophomore in high school, you start thinking, well, where do I want to go to college? Because colleges have all these qualifications. You have to take in, you know, some colleges, you have to have 4 years of foreign language. You have to have a certain number of years of math and a certain number of years of sciences and that kind of stuff. And so we're looking at these qualifications. And one of the things I'm thinking is, he's 14. How is he supposed to know what college he wants to go to? So you have to shoot high. And so we're looking at the qualifications to get into Harvard. I just figured, you know, he might as well, because, you know, if the college's entry qualifications are higher than Harvard's, we don't want to go there. Not sure we want to go to Harvard, but at least we can aim for that. And I start to think about other qualifications for jobs. If you're looking for a job, you know, they lay out these qualifications. This is what you have to do, the minimum qualifications for a job. And so I looked up some. I'm not looking for a job, but I just looked up and see some of the, you know, advertisements for jobs. And I'm reading and I'm recognizing, why would somebody with those qualifications want to work for you? It's amazing. And then the other thing I'm thinking is, how does anybody fit these job qualifications? They are shooting for the moon, and they are way off. And I'm reading in the Bible how it says that God has made us qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints. That's an amazingly powerful statement. It's right there in your text, in verse 12 of the text. Qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. You are qualified. How did you get qualified? Some of you maybe are just really good people. It would seem that the people would be qualified to be part of the family of God would be good people. You know, if God is anything like mankind, you know, when you're picking teams, you try to pick the best. So maybe God was, you know, looking out and saying, there's a good person. I'll pick him on my team. But it doesn't work that way. You don't get there because of anything you've done. We're not qualified to become part of the family of God because of our upbringing. We're not qualified to become part of the family of God because we're really smart or really good looking or really short or really tall. We don't qualify because God has done it for us. It's all about God. It's all about Jesus. Because he's the one who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. We just receive it on faith. But our text is going to talk about four different ways that God has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. If it starts off, this is verse 13, that God, that is he, God, has delivered us from the domain of darkness. We are qualified to be a part of the inheritance, a share in that inheritance, because we have been delivered from the domain of darkness. That is a powerful statement. First of all, there's that concept of what does it mean to be delivered, and what is the domain of darkness? And biblically speaking, this issue of being delivered is the thought of being taken away, or to be liberated, to be saved, or delivered, brought out of something or someone. In much the same way that you might deliver someone from slavery, that you might take them out of slavery, take them out of a bad situation, and you would deliver them. And the bad situation in which we all inherently entered upon birth was the domain of darkness. This is a powerful statement if you think about this, and I'd ask you to close your eyes, and so when you're thinking of the domain of darkness, you're not looking at me, but I want you to close your eyes and think, what does it mean to be in the domain of darkness? Not for the person sitting next to you, but for you. What did that mean? Because frankly, it means something different to each of us. Because for some of you, the domain of darkness involved a lifestyle of incredibly evil things. For some of you, you were involved in activities which you knew at the time were wrong, but you were trapped in it. For others of you, it involved just a bad thought life or bad theology. The concept of darkness is symbolic of ignorance and falsehood and sin. And when you think about that domain of darkness, that's where we came from. That is what God has delivered us out of. Each of us as individuals who have had faith in Jesus Christ have been delivered from the domain of darkness. That is the first qualification that God says, I'm giving this to you in order that you might might share in the inheritance of the saints. So he's delivered us out of the domain of darkness, but he hasn't just left us there. It's not as though he took us out of a bad situation. It's not as though we lived in a home where there was constant friction and fighting, and the foster care system came in and took us out of that, delivered us out of that home, and parked us on a street corner. But the scripture says he delivered us out of the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And it's those two concepts together which give us the glory of God coming and invading us. The hope of glory, that we've been delivered out of the domain of darkness into something even more wonderful than we can imagine, the kingdom of his beloved Son. That transferring is the word that was used for when they would take citizens from one country, they would remove people out of one country, and then they would settle them as colonists and citizens in another country. And so they were reestablished. And that's what God has done for us. God has for us taken us and removed us out of the domain of darkness and established us as part of and citizens of the kingdom of his beloved Son. We have a new citizenship. We have new rules. We are no longer under the rules of the domain of darkness. This is a powerful thing that we need to understand. We need to understand and live out in our lives that we no longer are trapped in the domain of darkness. We no longer are trapped in the sins of our old self, but rather we are given this incredible blessing of being in the kingdom of his beloved Son. I talked with somebody a number of years ago who just didn't get this. They came to Christ, they professed faith, but they chose to continue to be obedient to the domain of darkness. They used this excuse and said, well, I can't be faithful to my wife because my dad wasn't faithful to his wife and my grandfather wasn't faithful to his wife. Being an adulterer is just in my blood. That's just who I am. No, it's not. When you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, you have been delivered out of the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son. The old rules, the old things which drew you there no longer apply. We can say no to them. We can say, that is not me. I'm not a citizen of that land. I'm a citizen of the beloved Son. I'm a citizen of heaven. The rules of heaven apply to me, not the rules of this earth. I'm delivered from that and transferred. I'm established now. And as we begin to understand this, we can begin to see that sin no longer has to control us because God has said, you've been delivered, you're transferred, obey the new rules. It's also one of the reasons when I talk about how we impact society one person at a time, and we do that by introducing them to Jesus Christ. Because it's not really fair of us to expect that those who are trapped in the domain of darkness are going to live by the rules of the kingdom of his beloved Son. It's not fair to expect people who don't know Christ to be obedient to Christ. They're going to be obedient to the domain of darkness. But we are not going to be obedient to the domain of darkness because we've been delivered and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son. This is part of what qualifies us to share in the inheritance of the saints. But the text goes on in verse 14. It says, and Jesus has redeemed us. So we are delivered, transferred, and redeemed. And the word redeemed actually deals with the issue of giving value to you. It's that sense of the payment has been paid, has been made, and it is perhaps the idea of the completion of emancipation. You know, stories are told of the slaves who were liberated and emancipated, but they were delivered out of that slavery, but then they didn't have anywhere to go. And so many of the slaves who were delivered and freed went right back into the very same work environment, and they lived there for generations, working in a position as though they were slaves. They weren't actually delivered. They were delivered, but they weren't transferred. They weren't emancipated in the idea that they were given value. Now the world is so different. The domain of darkness is so different than the kingdom of his beloved Son. You know, you don't know this, but I've been reading a couple of books on faith and economics. I'm going to be going to a seminar on how our work impacts our faith and vice versa, and on how we value our work and the place of work in society and how that impacts civilization, and on the domain of darkness looks at work differently than the kingdom of his beloved Son. In the domain of darkness, We have these tiers. Some jobs are important and other jobs are unimportant. And we pretty much play that out. I was interacting with a young lady this week who was doing some reading and said that she was amazed that she said there's these factories that are they put out airplanes like a whole new 747 in 3 days. That's just amazing. She was just mind boggled, and I said, no, they don't. She said, yeah, they do. And I said, no, they don't, because the making of that airplane doesn't start in some factory in Seattle. I said, you know, I can actually make a model. I can do it pretty quickly, especially the ones that are designed for three-year-olds. I can do that pretty quickly, but I didn't make the model. I didn't make everything. I said to the person, the making of that airplane began with some guy who had a shovel and a pick and dug in the ground and pulled ore out of the ground and put it in a wheelbarrow. But wait, it started before that, because before he could dig, somebody had to make the shovel. And somebody had to... And every place along the line, it's important. That's not the way the world looks at things. It's the way we ought to look at things. Who's more important, the pilot or the guy who bolts the landing gear onto the frame of that plane? I'm not sure I'd want to go without either of them. Think about how our society would begin to break down if the job you do didn't exist. Whether you are a janitor, a mechanic, a salesman, an engineer, somebody who screws in a piece of metal, all you do all day long is make sure those screws are tight. Anywhere along the line in a process, if we stop, civilization, it begins to grind to a halt. Whether you're digging the hole or flying the airplane. Society doesn't look at it that way. You know they don't, because they say the guy who's digging the hole, he's worth $9 an hour, and the guy who's flying the airplane is worth $100,000 a year. But that's not the way it is in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, the scripture tells us that we are all part of the body. And you know what? In the kingdom of God, there are no appendixes and there are no tonsils. Nothing that can be taken out as though it's useless. We all have incredible value. That's the gift that God gives to you. If you didn't hear it before this, you hear it today. You have incredible value. You have been delivered out of the kingdom, out of the domain of darkness, delivered into the kingdom of His beloved Son, and you have been redeemed. You have been given value by Christ our King. But Paul saved the best for last. As you look at the end of verse 14, it says, not only have we been redeemed, but we have been forgiven of our sins. We are forgiven. I've been a pastor long enough to know that this is an area where almost everybody struggles at various times in their life. I like to remind you that you're not really smarter than God. If God says you are forgiven, what that means is you're forgiven. It doesn't mean, when God says you're forgiven, it doesn't mean that you should hold yourself guilty, that you should continue to pay, because Christ has paid for your sins. The scripture says, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're forgiven. Forgiven means forgiven. It doesn't mean go out and earn it. It means you're forgiven. It means you don't have to live under the burden of guilt. And far too many of us live under a burden of guilt. And you know what? Every one of us, if we want to, you can. You can follow the rules of the domain of darkness, or you can follow the rules of the kingdom of His beloved Son. You can choose to say, I have value. I have value, equal value with any other person who is a part of the kingdom of God. Because here's the thing. The blood of Jesus Christ saved every one of us. It didn't take more of the blood of Christ to save you than it took to save me. It's the same blood, the same love. God saying, I love you with an incredible love. And by the way, I forgive you. It's absolute, incredible, liberating forgiveness. It qualifies us to be part of the inheritance, to share in the inheritance of the saints. Because we've been delivered, transferred, we've been redeemed and forgiven. So, what are the minimum qualifications? Well, there is a catch. Qualifications are all met. I suppose you might say we have to apply for the job. We have to accept what's offered to us. And that comes by faith. We become co-heirs with Christ by faith, by recognizing all that God has given to us, that He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred into the kingdom of His Son, redeemed and forgiven. It's God's gift to us. And it's what we celebrate when we come around the communion table. It's what we celebrate when we recognize that this act of sharing communion focuses our attention not on what we have done, but upon what He has done. It doesn't focus on how good we are, but how good and loving He is. And so we take of bread, remind us of the body of Christ given for us, and some juice, reminding us of His blood shed for us. All of this, all of it designed to help us remember that we are participants. We are qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints. Heaven is our destiny. Let's pray. Grant to us, Lord Jesus, that we would fully understand and fully embrace the love the Father has shown to us. Amen.